One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
I've never been so impressed as I was today about the one man about whom the Bible revolves. First of all, I would admit gladly that Jesus is the supreme person of all history. Nobody with him can compare. Paris, is he of all the fair among the sons of men? I know that. But this man that we will speak about tonight and present in three different lights, some of which we wish almost we didn't have to do it, because of his tremendous attainment, achievement, and tremendous character, though there were some low valleys in his life. A statement is made about him which will be our text, and about which no other man could claim this statement in the Word of God. This would make him one of the most unusual people in all the world. And yet, most people would misunderstand why he would ever be called what he's going to be called. He was referred to in the book of Acts. I'd ask you to journey with me into the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. We have an introduction tonight, the most unusual introduction to one of the most unusual men that ever lived. We'll start and read only one verse, the 22nd verse. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I've found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. I'd like to speak tonight on the subject, a man after God's heart. A man after God's own heart. It might bring us up to date if I were to point out the 21st verse. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, God's still in the process of removing people. Don't forget that. You know why he removed him? He rejected the word of the Lord. You know why God's in the process of removing America? She's rejected the word of the Lord. Do you know why Ichabod is being written above America's name? It's because she has become a Bible-less and a Christ-less nation. She has become a nation of sin slavery. Sin will kill any nation or any individual or any home or any cause. Now then, I'd like to give you three pictures. David filled a unique role. And yet, I'd like to show you some things about him. Number one, let's look at him as a soldier, a fighter with tremendous courage. And I'd like to say to all the girls and boys that are here, David's first step to victory was he was obedient to his dad, had great respect for Jesse, his father. David could have become a rebel when he became a reject, but he didn't. David might have been called aside. Tears might have been on his cheeks. Because remember this now. A man, and I want us to see it because we've lost it in our generation. He's a man after God's own heart, and yet he's the greatest soldier that ever lived. We got a little smile, God loves you generation. But don't turn red in the face or make a face at the devil. Be kind and nice and sweet. But don't disturb the tranquility of the people. We're here to comfort the afflicted. Well, I believe it'd be better to afflict the comfortable. America has built her a nest and settled down. But she doesn't realize that she's through hatching the right thing unless we come back to the Lord. We've hatched out at least two generations of children that have been on the decline. Let me ask you something, and this disturbs me, if anything would. What's our prospects for our church's next generation? None. Who's going to go to church next generation? Are we now where England was a generation ago? Exactly. What did Jesus say? He said, except you repent, I'm going to take the candlestick away from you. And so, he's a soldier. His dad might have said to him, David, you've been crying, haven't you? He said, yes, sir. He said, what you been crying about, sonny boy? Well, he said, I just saw my big brothers go off to the battlefield, and I kind of wanted to go. I mean, down in here, I got a lot of fight. I ain't got the size, maybe, but I sure got the fight down there. I mean, I'd like to go. I mean, looks like it. Well, he said, son, I'll tell you what you do. You be faithful and help Dad here at home. You go out in the pasture, and you really take care of those sheep. Those boys may be back one of these days, and we're going to need some sheep and some goats and some cows, and we got to keep the old farm fires burning, son. Understand? You're Dad's helper. He said, I'll do it. And you know what it cost him, don't you? I'll guarantee you. He might not have been at the battlefield, but he was on a courage field out there when he killed the lion and the bear. You know what he's doing? He's doing his boot camp work. We're back home, at home. You show me a girl and a boy that will respect the right kind of a mother and daddy and love them and pray for them and be obedient to them and mow the lawn, wash the dishes, clean the house, make up the beds and help take care of everything. I'll show you somebody that may be getting in line for a bigger battle one of these days and a greater service. He was a great soldier. Fact is, he was the man that killed the greatest giant that ever lived that we have any record of. He killed Goliath with a slingshot and a stone. Number two, and this is the sad chapter. And I simply skip a lot of years. David finally, of course, got into the service. He got a permit to kill Goliath. He did. And then he had further boot camp work because King Saul became jealous and envious and hated him. And tried to kill him a number of times. David would hide in caves and run. David had an opportunity to kill Saul numberless times. He wouldn't do it. He would not do it. He said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. God anointed him king, the first king. But I tell you what God did. God rejected Saul when Saul rejected the word of the Lord. I do not believe it's possible for God. And oh, I want to encourage your heart tonight and mine too. God will never reject us as long as we accept the word of God. But the day that we begin to give in and give up and give out a little here and a little there, God will. I heard the message on the sin of compromise that kills the Christian. Name me a denomination that hadn't compromised. What is it that kills the denomination? The most unused building in America is the church building. Once a week, mainly, is when your church building is used. You wonder why the low tide in morals, corruption, filth, it all stems from a lack of warning in the pulpit. Well, let's go to the second and let's look at him. I saw him as a soldier, and now then I see him as a sinner, just a sinner. David has made a lot of hurdles. He's run well the race. He has now become the second king, succeeding Saul because Saul is now dead. Saul wound up on a witch hut, looking for somebody to tell him something because his preacher was gone. Saul, I think, became mentally disturbed because of his jealousy. Now then, where did David's downfall start? Where did it start? It started by looking. Just by looking. He looked and saw Bathsheba. When he looked, he lusted and he took. That's the reason television is so dangerous. The average person, the average Christian, is not prepared to watch television. And to that extent, I'm average. I could not do it. I could not watch it in a motel. I could not watch it in my home. I could not watch television as a diet for my life. I couldn't do it. It'd ruin me. It'd ruin my mind. It'd disturb my soul. It'd feed the lust of Lester instead of the spiritual desire of Brother Olaf. Why would I want to subject myself to such filth in order to make money for a devilish world? Why? David looked. He lusted. You know, I was thinking today, one of the saddest days in America was when Cecil B. DeMille began to make his sex pictures from the Bible. David and Bathsheba. Samson and Delilah. And this was his statement. In order to have a good box receipt, or good box receipt, you've got to put the sex to it. Now that's been a good many years ago. Distorted the truth. David, you're making a mighty mistake. A man after God's own heart. David, he's in trouble. He doesn't know it. For a moment of pleasure. And then, not long after that, Bathsheba sent word to the king. The inevitable has happened. The message came and said to the king, I'm expecting, and my husband, as you know, is one of your most faithful soldiers, and he's away. And David, you see, when you get backslidden, you don't get overly disturbed about it. You know, it's just one of those things. I mean, it's just one of my weaknesses, you know. And so he wrote some orders, sent it to his commanding officer, and said, would you send Uriah home? We'd like to give him a furlough. Here comes the soldier in. You know where he reports? To the number one commander-in-chief of the army, King David. He walks in, stands there, salutes, stands at attention and says, Your Honor, is there something I can do for you at home? He said, yes. I'd like to give you a furlough with your family. I think he said, without arguing with the king, I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. But that night, he slept somewhere around the palace and didn't go home. Somebody came and said, King, I thought you sent Uriah home to visit his lovely wife and companion. He said, I did. Did he not go? Said, oh no. He slept last night away from home again and said, I'm no better than any of the other soldiers. They didn't get to come home and I'm not going home. And the king said, you know, I'll have to use another type of strategy. And so he took out his pencil. He wrote some special orders, put it in an envelope and licked it and sealed it, and said, would you give this to my captain, the man who's in charge? He said, sure. Can you imagine the strange message that he read? He opened up the letter and said, would you put Uriah in the thickest of the battle? And then would you have your men by some sort of command to retreat and leave him to fight alone until you're sure they've got him? And you talk about, I'm not trying to explain some things. I'm just still saying, and I'll get to it for one too. He was a man after God's own heart. Can you imagine? I said, just can you imagine? He's already guilty of impurity, immorality, stealing the man's wife while the man was over the battlefield. And now then, he's written his murder plot. And sure enough, Uriah said, I'm glad to be back in the battle. The commanding officer said, you'll take a certain position. He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He said, you'll go here, and he did. And I guess he was so busy fighting, first thing you knew, he was fighting alone. And he wasn't enough for those soldiers that were coming against him. After a while, his old brave body lay there in the ground. His blood soiled the soil. He's dead. The message was sent to David. He's now dead. You know, when I read that, I think of Elijah. I think of Naboth. I think of Ahab. Where's God? He'll be along shortly. The message came. David said, well, there's a lot of soldiers get killed in service. He's just another one that's dead. And he sent a message to Bathsheba and said, your husband has been killed. Actually, if David had told the truth, he'd have said, with these hands, I murdered your husband. I killed him. And then God comes along. There's an old rugged prophet over there by the name of Nathan. God said, Nathan, I send you with a message to King David. He said, yes, sir. Nathan comes and says to the aides, I'd like to see the king, please. That is back when they listened to the prophets. And so he comes and says to the aide, go tell the king that prophet Nathan's here to see him. In a little bit he was in his presence. Closed the door. He said, king, he's going to his heart now. He said, you know, I'd like to tell you a story. He said, all right, go ahead. He said, there was a rich man with his palace and uncounted sheep and oxen, lambs, goats, cattle, camels, name it. He absolutely was rolling in wealth and possessions. The king said, all right, go ahead. He said, there was a poor man that lived at the edge of his tremendous plantation. And he had one little ewe lamb. That's all he had. He said that was brought up like one of his children. Fact is, it was just about the best play toy that his little children had. Oh, they played with that little ewe lamb. And that little ewe lamb looked like understood every child. And the king said, all right, go ahead. What are you driving at? Well, he said, the rich man had elegant company. The elite came. Special, super duper people came. And the rich man said, we must set the best before them. We've got to have the best. One of his servants might have suggested, you know, just down the road, our neighbor has really fattened up a ewe lamb. It's the choicest. There's nothing like it. The rich man said, so far as making no remuneration, go get it. And they went out and walked up to the house, opened the door, and I think the little ewe lamb said, and what do you want? And the little children all with their little heads right by the side of the ewe lamb and said, why, what did you come for? Y'all don't usually come down here. And
He said, we've come for this ewe lamb. And the little children looked up and said, Daddy, they want to show our ewe lamb off, don't they? When would you bring it back? Well, he said, we're not going to bring it back. We're going to kill it. And the little children looked up at Daddy and tears began to roll and said, Daddy, you're not going to let them have it, are you? Daddy said, no, we couldn't do that. The man said, this is orders from headquarters. The ewe lamb must go. They took a rope and put it around that little old ewe lamb, and I imagine it did some powerful blading and telling goodbye to all of its playmates. And up the hill, I'm talking about a man after God's own heart now, David, I think he'd been sitting there listening. His interest had not been too keen. He said they took the lamb up. Nathan said they killed that ewe lamb. That's the only one that they had. Brought up like a memory. David said, who is it? Let me just tell me who it is. Man after God's own heart. And here's where the old prophet had to raise the index finger like a single barrel shotgun and said, thou art the man. Now that kind of preaching has long since been forgotten. But it's needed. And I want you to know that index finger went like a dagger to the heart of David. And I think David really, in a way, fell to his knees and said, oh, me, I've never been so hit in my heart as now. That's right. A man after God's own heart can get under conviction. The worst thing you'll ever do, brethren and sisters, is not sin. The worst thing is after you sin, not get convicted for your sin. David stood there. I think beads of perspiration burst out on his lips and chin, and then tears began to roll. And he said, preacher, I'm guilty. Brother, that's the picture of David as the sinner. One more picture. David as the servant and the saint. Would you turn, please? I'll take time and I'll try to read without comment. I want to read you the greatest revival chapter. You've heard me say this before, but I want to read it to you. Everybody in the building ought to be able to quote it. After Nathan had shot him to his knees, after the old prophet pointed him out and said, you're guilty, we find coming from the lips of a man after God's own heart these words. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me against thee. Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be whiter than snow. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God. thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. And then he becomes the servant of the Lord, a man after God's own heart. David, in his old age, begins to look for Mephibosheths. He begins to look for people that are crippled. Help people that need help. A crippled son of Jonathan came to live in the palace. And when you and I come from being a soldier, a sinner, and we turn into the right kind of a saint, we're going to want to help somebody else. I'm asking you tonight, have you confessed and repented of the sin?
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.